I will say I was very happy when I saw Brother Philip start to head down the center of the church building there, and then all of a sudden I heard him singing coming back that way and kind of let me down a little bit. But I do beg an interest in your prayers that the Lord would be with us for what little time we stand before you. This we talk about the Spirit coming down, being with us in the meeting right now, and that goes with the thought I have in Ephesians 1 and in about verse 14. It's talking about the earnest of our inheritance. And Lord willing, we'll get to that verse in a few minutes, but the inheritance that we have is so great. And it tells us back there in Ephesians 1 and 11, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance." We have obtained an inheritance. It's not that we're going to get it if we do something. It's not that it's going to come to us someday. We have obtained the inheritance. And when you read it, my mind thinks obtained, that means I must have to do something. That's not what it means. We all know that we didn't gain our inheritance because we did something, because there was someone that did something for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we gained it. It means to gain or take possession of is what that means, obtained. We gained an inheritance that is greater than all others. How? Because we are adopted to be His children, to be the sons of God. This week, I've been thinking about adoption a lot and how that process works. When you think about the process of adoption and how the Bible uses us being adopted, especially like over in Romans 8, when we think about what it says in Romans 8 and around verse 15, he says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ." How wonderful is that? To think about who we are heirs of and then who we're joint heirs with. You can think about the Bill Gates of this world. You can think of the Waltons or whoever owns Walmart right now. You can think of all those people, and they have great inheritance that are coming at them. But you know what? We have one greater than that. We have one that is so far above that, and it's because we were chosen to be in that family. We weren't just lucky to be born into it. We were chosen because He loved us and said, "I want that one." That's where our inheritance came from, because He had chosen us. If we go back there to Ephesians, it says right there, it says, "We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will." Being predestinated. Being predestinated. When we are predestinated, if you think about how an adoption works is the adopter walks in and he chooses the child and he said, "I'm going to take that one home." You know what? He's predetermined the destination of that child. That child does not even know it, doesn't have anything, any say about it. But He has predetermined the destination of where that child is going to go home to. He has done that. That's how adoption works. The adopter goes in and chooses what child he wants. Now, there could be 20 children to choose from, but there's very few people that can handle adopting all 20 people. I don't know of very many at all. They go in and they say, "Well, we want one child. We're going to take one child today." Well, that doesn't seem very good because there's 19 others that aren't going to be chosen. Isn't that the argument against election? Well, it's not fair because He didn't choose everybody. He chose the ones that He wanted. That's how adoption works. He chooses those that He loves. You can just see it in a child and you say, I love that one. That's the one I'm choosing right now. And when he chooses that one, his destination has been determined because he's already got a house set up. He's got a home set up where that child is going to go to. That's what being adopted by God means. That spirit of adoption, we have an inheritance now. And how do we get it? Because we're heirs of God. When an adoption takes place, it is sealed. It is official. And you are as much of an heir to that inheritance as a blood child. It's sealed. It's a legal act. Stamped and says, we're done. You are an heir to this fortune right here. That child didn't do anything. You can think about how this, a lot of times children are adopted when they're just born. They can't speak. They can't say anything. The only thing that they ever know is that they woke up in this home. But that wasn't the home that they had started at. That wasn't the family that they had started at. God and those adopters choose them before any time. He says, you have an inheritance. You are predestined. And all these things are in past tense. They're already done. We have obtained an inheritance. We've been predestined. But then the next verse says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So all these things in the next couple of verses are going to be past tense. But this one says that we should be to the praise of his glory. Present tense. This is what we should be doing every day of our lives, all the time that we can. Why? Because we have the greatest inheritance. How do you think the ones that have this huge inheritance, how do you think they treat the family members that are ones that could be leaving them a great inheritance? They treat them a little bit better than the rest. They're wanting to get a little bit of that inheritance. We don't have to do anything to get a little bit of it. We got it all. It's already been given to us. He's already blessed us with it, and we have it. So how should we treat him? How should we act? We should be praising him all our steps of our life because we already have it. It doesn't say that you should have praised him. It doesn't say we did praise him. It says we should be praising him to his glory. Not so we can brag about our inheritance, but that we can praise to where we glorify God. When we come here, we want to be blessed when we come to service. We want to have a good service. We want to experience seeing one another, being blessed like that. But we should come here in the mindset that we want to glorify God first and foremost. Why? Because he left us a great inheritance. We've obtained a great inheritance from him. He's blessed us with that. He says, in whom we also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's that stamp. We were sealed. It's taken care of. It's preserved. When something goes through a court system, they will stamp it and seal it. It's done. That's how it worked. There's no more. It's finished. When all the documents are turned in, when the legal case is all taken care of, they'll stamp it and they'll seal it. It's official. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's how we know we have that. It's what a wonderful thing that we have when it comes into the next verse and he says we get, that is our earnest of our inheritance. We get to experience a little bit of our inheritance all the time. We get that when the Lord comes down, where the Spirit comes down, and he blesses us to have it where those times where we feel like we're lifted up, that we can just see things in a different light. We can experience things in a different way. That time when you are so far down that you feel like nothing's going right, and out of nowhere you feel like the Lord has come down and put his hands around you and lifted you up and said he'll be okay. We've been in those spots where there's nothing that anyone can tell us that makes us feel any better. And out of nowhere, you feel like God is right there next to you and he's lifting you up saying he'll be all right. And you can get up and you can go. I've got this. Why? Not because I've got it. Not because I'm okay. It's because God is there with me. If I want anybody on my side, I want it to be God on my side. I love having my wife next to me, but if I got to choose between having her next to me and having God next to me, I want God. I want God to be helping me through my trials. I want Him to be right there. When we have one of those meetings where I never could understand how a Printer Baptist could put three preachers up at one time. And on a Sunday night, he wants to put two. I couldn't understand things like that. But after I've experienced those times when the Lord has just blessed those meetings, and it's something you can't even describe, and you can listen to it on the tape, and it just doesn't do it. The tape is not the same. You're hearing the tape, you're like, no, it was better than that. You're trying to explain to the people, you've got to listen to this, you need to listen to this. And when they go to listen to it, they say, yeah, it was all right. What do you mean it was all right? It was unbelievable. It was outstanding. The singing was glorious. Everything was so great. The preaching is, I've never heard better preaching. And then you listen to it and you're like, well, yeah, I guess it's all right. Why? Because we are experiencing an earnest of our inheritance right there. You think about what earnest is, how we use it in today's. We put down earnest money on a house. It's a little bit that we put down to when we go to look at a house and we say we really like it. I need to secure the funds. I need to put together how I want to get this. And you don't want them to sell it from out from underneath you. So you give them earnest money. You give them some money to hold it for a certain amount of days that it's off the market right then. So you can get all your stuff together. It's just a little bit. That's what we have when we experience those things. And when we can think about how wonderful and how great it is of what we experience when the Spirit comes down and blesses like that, and it's just a little bit of our inheritance. But the Lord didn't leave us with nothing. He gave us an earnest of our inheritance. You know, there's a prodigal son. He got his inheritance. He got it given to him. He took it, and he went, and he wasted it. When I read that, I wonder, do I waste my earnest and my inheritance? When I'm blessed to go out there, am I like the prodigal son, or am I taking and soaking that in and saying, I have it. And I hold on to it so I can go through the next one. Because Brother Phillip's right. We're not always blessed when you're up here to preach. I don't think there's a worse place to stand when you're not feeling the Spirit than right here. I used to think it was the worst place to be sitting in the pews, but I can assure you that is not the worst place. And we all know it's pretty rough. But right here, when you're not being blessed by God and you don't feel the Spirit come down, this is a lonely, lonely place. But those times when you're blessed to preach His gospel and you feel it and you can tell that the Lord is raining down, how many times do I really stop to thank God for those times? Or am I wasting my inheritance? Am I wasting that earnest of my inheritance? He says we have an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. That adoption right there, it cost a bunch of money. Adoptions cost a lot of money. Now, we've never had an adoption. We've had three natural boys, but I'll tell you what, they cost enough by themselves. To think that you have to pay a lot of money just to be able to adopt them legally into your household, which is always blowing my mind. Because these children need homes. These people want it. But you know what? It costs a great amount. But there's no adoption that costs more than this adoption right here. Because it was the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was the payment that was required for this adoption to be paid for. And He bought us and He paid for us. And when that adoption takes place, to be completely finished, it will be at the resurrection. When He comes home to gather up His children and to take them home, that adoption will finally be taken care of. The contract was started before the foundation of the world, and we'll be going home at the resurrection. It will all have taken place. It took a long time for it to all get there and be completed. But I tell you, it's not like we're left with nothing. We're told we have an earnest of our inheritance. We get to experience it right here and right now. I pray that when we get those times where we get that earnest of our inheritance, that we don't blow it, but that we hold on to it. And we thank God for it every day. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.